Privileged tonight to have one of our missionaries home with us, to have Brother Jim Morgan, his family home from Romania. Brother Jim worked here in our church, worked in bus ministry and everything, and God called him to the mission field, and he'll tell us about it. Been doing a great job over in Romania. It's probably not as warm over there, or is it?
Not quite.
Not quite. I don't know. We're going to check and see. I hope nothing's broke down, because when you have an air conditioning breakdown, guess what? It costs money. Mm-hmm. That's not good. Brother Jim, we're glad to have you. Is the family out there? I guess I see Susan. All right. And, of course, we got one, two, three of his kids here in college, right?
Yeah.
Amen. And we're not going to tell Daddy on you kids, so you're going to be all right. Amen. Good to have you tonight.
Preacher. Man, it's good to be back. Highlight of our furlough is the time that we get to spend here with you folks. I like going everywhere and preaching. I like to preach. There's something wrong with you if you're called to preach and you don't like to preach.
Amen. Amen.
And so I appreciate Brother Carter giving up his pulpit for me to give a report. We love you folks. This is the hardest and the easiest place in the world to preach. You can say anything, and there's people out here, they'll say amen. Amen. I like that. Makes me feel affirmed. You know, need to feel affirmated, right? Open your Bibles, if you would, to Psalm 59. Every year in Germany, we have a retreat for missionaries in Europe, usually probably 40, 50 missionaries from all over Europe show up, and they assign a theme for the retreat. And this year I'll be preaching at the retreat, and the theme is, God wants to hear you sing. I said, what a hokey theme. Then they gave me my part of the theme. I know there's a lot of preachers, they don't like to be assigned a part of the theme, but you know what? I think I can trust the Holy Spirit to lead the guy that assigns the theme as well as he would lead me, and probably better, to be honest with you. And he gave me my part of the theme, and my part of the theme is singing the song of protection. So I wrote a song, but I'm not going to sing it. I'm going to read it to you. How you like that? Well, let's look here, if we would, at Psalm chapter 59, and let's start with verse number 16. But I will sing of thy power. Yea, I will sing aloud of thy mercy in the morning. For thou hast been my defense and refuge in the day of my trouble. Unto thee, O my strength, will I sing, for God is my defense and the God of my mercy. Father, I ask now that you'd bless, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Help me, Lord, to be a blessing. That's all I want to do. I want to be a blessing. I want to glorify you. I want to lift up Jesus Christ. And Lord, may someone be encouraged and helped, strengthened. In Jesus' name, amen. Can't tell you the number of times that God has intervened in our lives and protected us as missionaries in Romania, as missionary candidates on deputation driving down the road. You don't have to go very far anywhere without finding some car wreck on the side of the road. And you go by and you think, had I been here 5 minutes earlier or 5 minutes later, what could have happened? And you wonder, why? How could I be 23 years in Romania and these people drive crazy? I mean, the 90% of the people in Romania have had their driver's license less than 5 years. Think about that. And they got them by bribing the police. I think our brother from Togo might know what I'm talking about. I seen his head nodding back there. And so you think about that. Most of the people on the road have very little experience. And yet somehow or another, for 23 years, I've come out of this unscathed. I'll probably get back next, you know, in October and have a head-on collision. I don't know. That's God's plan, whatever it is. But God protects us. God has protected us from many different things. And sometimes we're so unthankful. The Romanian word for being thankful is you recognize what God has done. It's recognition. And so sometimes we just don't recognize what God has done in our lives. In protecting us and guiding us and standing with us. And so here we have this song where David is just looking back and he's remembering some things that happened. But I will sing of thy power. Now, I've got several points here, several stanzas of my song, but this is my chorus. But I will sing of thy power. Yea, I will sing aloud of thy mercy in the morning, for thou hast been my defense and refuge in the day of my trouble. Unto thee, O my strength, will I sing, for God is my defense and the God of my mercy. You know, worship has been all perverted these days. Singing is part of our worship. We have a worship service every time the church meets together. And every part of it is worship. And by the way, that part where they pass that plate by you, did you know that's worship too? That's the part of worship most people don't like. But they perverted it so much that the music that we sing no longer reflects the God of heaven. And it overpowers any other sense of worship that we have. But one of the greatest acts of worship is to be able to acknowledge what God has done for us and be thankful for what he's done. I will sing. Maybe you can't sing, but you can still sing. Amen? You can do it. Psalm chapter number 18. Let's develop the introduction a little bit further for you college students. The introduction is part of preaching. You know, the introduction, tell them what you're going to preach. Then the message is preach what you're going to preach. Then the conclusion is tell them what you just preached, okay? So there you go. There's your homiletics. You don't even have to take that class now. Sorry about that, Brother Bradley. I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress. Why do you have a fortress? For protection, amen? My deliverer, my God. Again, my strength in whom I will trust. My buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. I will sing the song of protection. But let's go back to our psalm. Do you know the context of this psalm? This brings us to our first verse, the first verse of the psalm. You see, in the introduction of this psalm, it says, when Saul sent and they watched the house to kill David. You know what this is about? God wants to kill David. And he sends home to check and see where David's at. David heard about it and he ran and they put a image of David in the bed. His wife had warned him about it. If you look in the book of Genesis, and we see that God has created man and it's not good that man should be alone. So God created a helpmeet for him. Gave him a wife. Where did he? What material did he use to build the wife? Not the dust of the earth. He used a rib. I know we like to use a little illustration about the rib. The rib was taken from the side of man, not from his foot so he could walk on her, not from his head so she could rule over him, but from his side so that she could walk beside him. But let me see if I can clear it up even a little bit more clear. He took it from the rib. Why? The rib protects the heart. You see, I'm going to sing the song of protection. I'm going to sing about the wife that God gave me to protect me. Folks, our wives are not the butt of our jokes. They're there to protect us. They're there to guard our hearts. When the wife says that the man is clueless, she's absolutely correct. And we need our wives to stand beside us and to help us. You see, we talk about women's intuition and we say it's kind of as a joke, but it's real. And they can see through things that we can't. And they can understand things that we don't. And we ought not to despise or to belittle the role that the wife plays in our lives. They are there to protect us. They're there to protect our hearts. Man, we can let our hearts run away with us. We can get some crazy ideas that sometimes a wife needs to just shoot them down for us. They see things a little different than we do. And sometimes we think that's a problem, but it's not. It keeps us from going off the deep end. Amen. You know what the wife does? She makes us complete. They make us better. I mean, if you want to know what the wife does and what a man would be without a wife, it's go down to the guy's dorm and inspect their rooms. That's what the guy is without the wife. You know what he does? Sunday morning church, and he hadn't time to do laundry, and he's digging through the dirty clothes looking for the whitest white shirt. And he's smelling his socks to see if maybe he can wear them one more time. We need our wives. We're incomplete without them. They protect our hearts. When God said, it is not good for the man to be alone, he meant it. We need her. She's our rib. She protects our heart. She protects us and keeps us from making stupid mistakes. And when we disregard their advice and their prompting, many times we go ahead and make the stupid mistakes. And then we got to listen to it for the rest of our life. But I will sing of thy power. Yea, I will sing aloud of thy mercy in the morning, for thou hast been my defense and my refuge in the day of trouble. Unto thee, O my strength, will I sing, for God is my defense and the God of my mercy. Second stanza, Psalm 31. Psalm 31. I'll just put my glasses on and leave them there, but I keep forgetting. At least I didn't forget my glasses like I did last time I preached here. Who was it loaned me their glasses last time? Psalm 31, verses 1 through 3. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in thy righteousness. Bow down thine ear to me. Deliver me speedily. Be thou my strong rock and an house of defense to save me. For thou art my rock and my fortress, therefore for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. Can I say this? Being in God's will protects me. So many times we go off and it just seemed like a good idea at the time, but we never really consulted God about it. And we get ourselves into problems, and God can get a wonderful thing about God is even when we go off trail, God will get us back on. But man, sometimes it takes a while, and sometimes we fell off the cliff on the way off that trail, and we got a few scars and bangs and bruises to go with it. And sometimes we've busted up something so bad we can't be as effective as we'd been, could have been, had we not gone off the trail. But being in God's will, I will sing of God's protection. And I'll tell you something, let me sing about being in God's will. There's nothing better than that. Oh, we get to looking off to the right or off to the left, and we see the flashing lights and the glitter and the glitz and the glamour, and we think it might be a little bit better over there. And I'm sure that God wouldn't mind if I just detour a little bit. Being in God's will is a protection. Listen to me. It looks good over there. But when you get there, that pretty green is like the top of an old scummy pond. It's deceitful. It's not what it was cracked up to be. We leave God's will, and we leave God's protection. You walk off that trail. You turn off that detour. Go down there and see what it's all about. It's not going to hurt me. I'm okay. Then you got the bruises and the scars to show for it afterwards. You know what? I'm better off in Romania, in God's will, in the midst of a revolution, in the midst of whatever, than I could ever be at Landmark Baptist Church in Haines City, Florida, if that's not where God wants me to be. We justify our straying, we justify our detours, but you'll never justify leaving God's will. Can I give you just a little bit of advice, college student? If God hasn't showed you for sure something else to do, then keep doing what you're doing right now. You don't need to go anywhere else. Well, I'm just looking for God's will. Then stay where you're at until He tells you what it is. Amen. Don't try something new just to find out. Man, there's plenty enough to keep you busy right here. I don't think you'd be out of God's will if you worked the bus route for a few years. I don't think you'd be out of God's will if you had a Sunday school class and you went out soul winning on Thursday night from time to time. I don't think God will be mad at you if you just keep reading your Bible and keep praying and keep trying to win souls here. You know what? If you'll just do the things that God wants you to do and stay in His will today, tomorrow will take care of itself, and you might wake up like I did one day in Romania. Yeah. How did I ever get there? Being in God's will protects me, but I will sing of thy power. How did I stay in God's will? God's power. Yea, I will sing aloud of thy mercy in the morning, for thou hast been my defense and my refuge in the day of my trouble. And there's going to be days of trouble. Unto thee, O my strength, will I sing, for God is my defense and the God of my mercy. Psalm 62. Psalm 62. Verse number 1, truly my soul waiteth upon God, from Him cometh my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. That's interesting, the wording, amen? By the way, you got a King James Bible, you got the right Bible. And it's worded exactly right. There's no mistake here. I shall not be greatly moved. You know, sometimes even right in the smack dab middle of God's will, things will happen that'll move us, but we won't be greatly moved. Amen? How long will ye imagine mischief against a man? Ye shall be slain, all of you. As a bowing wall shall ye be, and as a tottering fence. Man, I don't want to be over there. I want to be on the other side of that tottering fence. I don't want to be standing next to that bowing wall. They only consult to cast him down from his excellency. They delight in lies. They bless with their mouth, but they curse inwardly. Selah. Think about that for a minute. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from Him. Wait thou only upon God. You know what? I'll sing the song of protection. Also, waiting on God protects me. Back to my previous point. Don't get in a hurry. You know, wait has two connotations. Do you realize that? Don't you love the English of the King James Bible? Wait as in stay where you're at, but wait as in serve where you're at. Be a waiter. Amen? Get busy waiting. Not just sitting around. We had guys, whenever I was in Bible college, a long time ago, not as long ago as him, but a long time ago. Whenever I was in Bible college, we had these guys that owed money on their school bill. And they sit around the dorm all day long doing nothing. They were waiting for the $15 an hour job to call them. But when the McDonald's called them, they didn't want that job. And when the bag boy at the supermarket called them, they didn't want that job. And they waited. That's not the waiting I'm talking about. No, they should have been waiting at McDonald's. And they should have been waiting at Publix or in whatever it was in Oklahoma City. But they should have been waiting, not just waiting. I remember one day, one of our college students was down at the 7-Eleven. He was the one that was waiting on the phone call from the $15 an hour job. And he's shoving quarters in the video game there. Brother Vineyard walked in and planted his foot somewhere. And said, "Son, do you owe anything on your school bill?" He goes, "Well, yeah." He says, "And what are you shoving quarters in that machine for?" He was waiting on that $15 an hour job. That's for you new college students, okay? If you got two quarters, well, what is it, four quarters now to play those games. If you got quarters, take it down to the financial office at the college and put it over there. Quarter at a time. By the way, I paid my school bill that way. If I had money in my pocket, it went down to the financial office. There's two reasons for that. One of them was because I wanted my school bill paid. The other reason was my wife worked there. Before she was my wife, and I wanted to see her, so. Waiting on God protects me. But I will sing of thy power, yea, I will sing aloud of thy mercy in the morning. For thou hast been my defense and refuge in the day of my trouble. Unto thee, O my strength, will I sing. For God is my defense and the God of my mercy. You know, there's something else that protects me. Psalm 62, verse 6. Only he is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. And God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is God. Trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. You know what protects me? Trusting God. Protects me. Things aren't going good. I've got problems. I'm being attacked. The state is against me. The neighbors are against me. The priest is against me. My church members are against me. Man, you know you got good church members whenever one of them punches you out. Amen? He feels so comfortable around you. Everybody's against me. Am I in the right place? Am I doing the right thing? You know, sometimes you just got to trust God. Just trust him. He called you there. He asked you to do the job. Listen, he called you to college. He called you to the ministry, whatever you've got. Just stay with it and trust him to get you through it. Somebody once said, if he brought you to it, he'll bring you through it. Just trust him. Just stay with it. Let him work. We want to figure it out when we ought to be faithing it out. We want the answers right now. We don't want to wait for the answer to come later on. we just need a little bit of patience. Let's just trust God. He'll take care of it. Psalm 89. Verse number 16. In thy name shall they rejoice all the day, and in thy righteousness shall they be exalted. For thou art the glory of their strength, and in thy favor our horn shall be exalted. For the Lord is our defense, and the Holy One of Israel is our King. Look at this. For thou art the glory of their strength. You know, the glory of God protects me. The name of the Lord protects me. We're told in the Bible to not take the name of the Lord, our God, in vain. And yet many times we live in such a way as we're taking the Lord, our name of our Lord, our God, in vain. His name is directly connected with His glory. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. And the glory of God protects me. I like the verse that the glory teams use. Amen? Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. If we could just live that way. Live everything we do to the glory of God. It's an amazing thing what that does to protect us. After I started going to church in Seattle, Washington, I was in deep sea diving school and got lonely and started going to church. I went to an independent Baptist church. Before that, I'd been a roughneck in the oil field up in Wyoming, and of course developed all the bad habits that go along with that lifestyle and had the filthy mouth and all the other stuff. But I began to change, and I began to take my Bible to school. And I remember the first time I walked in there, I had my manual, I had my other books that we had for studying the diving charts and all this sort of stuff, but I had my Bible right on the top. And we'd sit in a bench with a table in front of it. And I sat down in that bench and I set that Bible right on top there. And the guys that usually came and sat by me came to sit by me, looked over and said, uh-oh, and left. And I said, what's happened? Are you one of them born-agains? I said, well, I don't know what you mean by that, but I'm not what I used to be. Funny thing happened. I didn't have to say, don't tell those dirty jokes in front of me. They just quit telling them in front of me. Or when they would, I wouldn't laugh, and they'd just walk off ashamed of themselves. You know, it's not really all that difficult. When you make your life a life that glorifies God, people that live for the devil aren't going to be too comfortable around you. You don't have to go change your friends. Your friends will exchange you for something else. You know why you're having trouble getting away from your bad friends? It's because you're not living a life that glorifies God. It's not that difficult. Find out what God wants you to do and do it, and guess what? Your friends will change. Psalm 94. We're singing, right? Are you singing with me? I'm skipping the chorus a couple of times because there's so many stanzas. We do that when we sing here too, right? Psalm 94, verse 22. But the Lord is my defense, and my God is the rock of my refuge, and he shall bring upon them their own iniquity, and shall cut them off in their own wickedness. Yea, the Lord our God shall cut them off. I'm going to sing of the Lord's protection. And he protects me with the wickedness of the wicked. They think they're trying to hurt me, and it just comes around and it kills them. They come and they blow their smoke in my face, but that smoke is killing them. They come and they throw their beer cans and their beer bottles in my yard just to try to make me mad, or in my churchyard, but that's what's going to kill them. That rock that they're trying to push over on me is going to roll back on them. That pit that they're digging for me, they're going to fall in it. You know, it's amazing. If we just let the wicked be wicked, they're going to die. And I know we're supposed to win them to Christ, but we don't win them all, do we? And some of them will not be won. But listen, just wait a little while. God gets the last laugh. You know, one of the wonderful things about the book of Revelation is at the end, we get to see all those people that persecuted us, that laughed at us. I know there's going to be tears. I think there's going to be a little bit of vindication. Hey, you thought I was a fool? Let's see who the real fool is. The wickedness of the wicked. Ecclesiastes chapter 7 says money is a defense. You know, when God blesses you financially, it might be for your protection. Money and wisdom are a defense. I'll sing of the Lord's protection. And sometimes He blesses me financially, and then after He does it, I find out why. It was for a defense. Whenever I came back on furlough when my daughter hurt her hand, our finances took a very steep upgrade. God blessed us with many new supporting churches, and many of our churches increased our support. And people would ask me, "Brother Jim, how's your support level?" Well, we're fine. But it still kept going up and going up. And I'm sitting there, "Lord, why are you doing this?" That was in 2005. 2006 came. Then 2007 came. And the crash came. And our dollar was divided into, it became only two-thirds of what it was value. I lost 30% of the value of my dollar in 2 months. Now you take a 33% pay cut and see how you like that. And by the way, during all that time, prices continued to increase in my home currency. Why did God give me a spike in my support? I'm not bragging. All I'm trying to do is show you this truth. Wisdom is a defense. Money is a defense. Many times, because of wisdom, we can increase our money because we're wise. But listen, God knows what He's doing. And if you use your money foolishly, you're not going to be ready for the crisis. We're supposed to lay up for our children, are we not? The Bible says that. Not the children for the parents. All right, moving on. I will sing of thy power. Proverbs chapter 11, godly counsel protects me. Do you ever ask advice, or have you got it all figured out? Godly counsel, in the multitude of counselors, there's wisdom. It doesn't mean keep asking until somebody tells you what you want to hear, that multitude of counselors. But I kind of guarantee you that if you'll ask people that are on the same plane spiritually as the previous guy, you'll get the same answer. In other words, ask Brother Carter, and ask Brother Parson, and ask somebody else that's in that level spiritually, that's lived for God for many years, you'll probably get the same answer every time. And the multitude of counselors, I knew guys, they'd keep asking until they got the answer they wanted. Yeah. And they'd start up here, you know, the guys that advise Solomon, but whenever they don't like his answer, they'll go ask the guys they grew up with. And then they can wreck more than just their own lives, they can wreck a whole kingdom. You know what? I'll sing of God's protection, and his protection comes through godly counsel. I don't make major decisions without talking to Brother Carter and other men of God that have been mentors to me through the years. I don't. Well, Brother Jim, you've been a missionary in Romania for 23 years, so I still need my pastor. By the way, I don't do anything that he wouldn't approve of in Romania. Man, one of the saddest things I see on the mission field is missionaries that leave their sending churches and do what they want to do on the mission field, ignore the standards, the conviction, and the music program of their church back home. That's a sad thing. It's unethical. It's wrong. I'm in Romania to duplicate Landmark Baptist Church. I'm a member here. My church in Romania, no matter what size, it ought to look like Landmark Baptist Church. It ought to sing like Landmark Baptist Church. It ought to dress like Landmark Baptist Church. I can't ignore the godly counsel I've gotten over the years. And I don't make changes without seeking counsel. And you shouldn't either. Last stanza. That's only 9 stanzas. You know what? I'd be remiss if I didn't mention that the angels of God protect me. Amen. I will sing of the Lord's protection. I think about Elisha. And the king of Syria is looking for Elisha. And where's Elisha at? Well, he's in Dothan. So they send the army to Dothan. And his servant comes to him, and he's got up, and he's looked out over the wall of Dothan, and there's an army there. Oh, well, how shall we do? What are we going to do? I mean, this is awful, Elisha. And Elisha just prayed a short prayer. Lord, open his eyes. And what did he see up on the mountains? He saw the angels of God. I think whenever I drive in Romania, I've got 2 angels. I think one of them's name is Shirley and the other one's name is Mercy. Goodness and mercy, amen? They're riding around with me everywhere I go. And that guy that decides to pass in that blind curve towards me, he pushes him back just in time to keep from having a head-on collision with me. I remember one time I'm driving in the snow, and I'm driving through this little town, and I'm not paying good enough attention. That's why you need those angels, because you're stupid. I'm driving around and I lose traction and my van starts fishtailing this way. And here comes another van this way. And just at the last minute, I'm already braced for impact. I'm waiting for it to happen. And just at the last minute, that thing whipped back around and just inches missed that van. And I kept driving merrily along my way just like I didn't know any better. But I knew better. Goodness and mercy were following me. They were taking care of me. They were protecting me. Listen to me. We need to sing the song of protection. But I will sing of thy power. Yea, I will sing aloud of thy mercy in the morning. For thou hast been my defense and refuge in the day of my trouble. Unto thee, O my strength, will I sing, for God is my defense, and the God of thy mercy. Amen, Brother Carter.
Let's bow our heads a moment. Think about God's protection. Brother Morgan did a great job to make us think about some things sometimes we take for granted. In fact, let's stand. I believe we'll have just a short verse of invitation. If God spoke to you, you need to come to the altar, just do it. You need those angels following you. You need that protection. A lot of wisdom in what the missionary said tonight. A lot of wisdom. Practical. Father, we thank you for the message. Help us not forget it. As we read through the Psalms, realize how you are protecting us, how we should praise you for that. Everyday things, like just in traffic. No telling how many times, Father, you prevented something bad coming in our life, and we didn't even maybe stop to praise you for it or to recognize it was you that saved us. Help us, Lord, to be more conscious of how you're looking after us. There's somebody here tonight, Father, that's questioning whether they're in your will or not. Help them to see that you'll guide them. You'll keep them in peace whose mind is stayed on thee, the scripture says. Use the message, Father, tonight in our hearts. And Lord, if there be here one in our midst that's unsaved, we pray after the service they'd come to us or come to one of your people here and let us take a Bible and show them how to be saved. May you bless, Lord, in our midst, and may we be stronger for what we've heard and meditated on tonight. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Tremendous message. Get a chance, shake hands and tell Brother Morgan you appreciate it. He stayed in the will of God when he was here doing what God showed him to do. He was waiting, but he wasn't waiting. He was working while he was waiting. And that's something I hope you got a hold of tonight. How many of you go to a restaurant and when the person comes up to take your order, we call them a waiter? What if they pulled up a chair and sat down? You'd say, "What are you doing?" They said, "Well, I'm waiting." That wouldn't work, would it? That's what a lot of Christians do. They pull up a chair to wait. Waiting is serving when you're waiting on God. Amen. All right, Brother Hector.